Let us stand up and pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are in our midst, and we need you continuously. We're asking you to be connected with us, because it's hard to be connected through wires. But we want you to be connected with our heart tonight. Come and help us. And the name of Jesus Christ is our strength. We are imploring your power, the virtues. Give and satisfy us. Bless all the brothers in the other side of the screen. And also we, those who are gathered here, bless us, reveal us your word. And we pray that tonight that your spirit will be in our midst. We're thanking you because you are the wonderful and the glorious Father. And from you we can expect everything. When you start with the church, you are going to bring out her hand. And we believe tonight that we are going to do one step forward in her work. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless all of you. May God bless you. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, part 2, starting with paragraph 306. We are going to start from paragraph 306. And this Melchizedek was not Jesus, for he was God. And what made Jesus and God different? That Jesus was the tabernacle of God dwelling. See? Now Melchizedek, Jesus had both father and mother. And this man never had father or mother. Jesus had a beginning of life and he had an end of life. This man had no father, no mother, no beginning of days or ending of life. But it was the self same person. It was Melchizedek and Jesus was one. But Jesus was the earthly body, born and fashioned after sin. God's one body. His own son, born and fashioned after sin, to take the stink out of death, to pay the ransom, and to receive son and daughter of unto himself. You get it? That is the reason that he had. He had a beginning and he had an ending. Let's read some passage of the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's a well-known passage, known by everyone. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. He became sin. What Abraham said, we found it confirmed in the word of God. We can read also in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 13. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You see how many things he has taken in his being for us. He was born in the body of sin. He has taken all those things, all the sufferings. We can see also about them in Isaiah 53. Also, we can see what kind of grace we have found through this man. Grace that each one of us has received. He being made a curse for us, is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If we did not receive this grace, we would be far from God in our sin and staying in our eternal death, having eternal death. Also in Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. It's wonderful. It's a deep word. We see that unbelief and all what happened in the Garden of Eden till today, he has bore all things. For this reason, today we have this assurance, this confidence. Iniquities, sins, they've been removed. Through the work that been done on Calvary. If not, we could die in our sins. This word is deep. All the body is edified through the work that was made on Calvary. By this perfect body in commemoration as the earnest of resurrection, God would not suffer that holy body to see corruption, because created it himself, and brought it forth, and resurrected, and set it at his right hand. And today the Holy Spirit that raised that body up is in the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and showing forth the same miracles and power. And someday, this Holy Spirit that is in the church will scream and will lift up and will receive itself into this body form that is sitting at the right hand of the majesty of God to make intercessions for the sinners. And by there, we are perfectly kept from sin. Not that we don't sin, but kept from sin in the presence of God. You see? There is this doctrine or teaching that we have to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in order to see the action of God, in order to have miracles and wonders in the church of Jesus Christ. We knew that the Holy Spirit came already in the church. Brother Branham brought the restoration and everything was restored. We do not need to look for other things, but we have to go deep and seek in our unbelief and our rebellion. Christ has done everything. The last action that is going to take place in the church, in the bride or in the chosen one, is the latter rain is going to come to pass. That is the word of God. We have to take heed. And I do not believe that we have to wait the outpouring of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Jesus to come in the church. That is wrong. It's of the devil, this doctrine. The Spirit that resurrect that body, the body of Christ, is in the church. That same Spirit that resurrect Jesus Christ. And he resurrect now, is interceding for us. The same Spirit fell upon the church. And how can we say today that there's no miracles, or miracles doesn't exist? You see, that is a man's unbelief, is a false teaching. For this reason, I'm pressing upon this point. In book of Ephesians 1, verse 23, for this reason, we have to seek the face of the Lord. We read it many times. We read it also on Sunday. We can start with verse 22. And he had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filled all in him. Amen. We seen also all the connected scripture on Sunday. Here is the thing. A personal relationship with the Lord, a personal relationship with the Spirit, it must take place. It must not be just in the church, but it start personally. Then he's going to get together with the group. Not every kind of church, but the church of the Lord. May God bless us and give us strength to put in action what God is telling us. Amen. The one who was called by God, he cannot sin. For if you are born again, the very Holy Spirit that liveth in that body lives in you. And it can't sin. The sacrifice is laying before him. Then if you willfully do it, shows that it's impossible for you to be in the body. Amen. That's the gospel. That is it. Therefore, you see, it doesn't people can say we are right before God, or they they have this teaching of internal salvation and saying that we can continue living in our ways, not following the word of God. This is wrong. Because if you are living out of the word of God, that means you did not receive salvation. That means you did not receive that power that is helping you not to sin anymore. That is unbelief. You have to stop with that unbelief. Because God has delivered us from unbelief, He has delivered us from sin. Everything that you used to do, when you believe, you have to stop it. If you keep doing that, that means you are not saved. Paragraph 309. Therefore, you see, it doesn't contradict any scriptures. It binds the scripture together. See, it would be possible for those once enlightened. That is where I get my question. For just get them, that's how we want. Here we can read in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 27. In English, 26. For if we sin willfully, that after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. We connected the scriptures with the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We read last time. We can read also in the book of Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 4. There's a difference. We have to understand it. And we have to seal this difference in our heart. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have a taste of heavenly gift and were made partaker of Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the word to come. This spiritual thing, this supernatural thing, if they taste it, and if they shall fall away, to renew them again and to repentance. Brother Branham say, once you are in, you cannot fall anymore. I believe that you have catch it. You have understand it. It's impossible for those who are in to fall. For them is already done. That's the difference between these two passages of the scripture. Hallelujah. Now notice, it's impossible for those who once enlightened to fall away to renew themselves against the repentance. To see that they crucify the Son of God afresh and make him and bring him to an open shame, they could not do it. Then you go on over to Hebrews 10, where it says, for if we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, what is the sin? Unbelief. If you deliberately see the Holy Spirit do the things that is right here this morning, and see that Christ is risen from the dead, and is living in church and among his people, and you willfully turn it down, it's impossible for you to overcome the God, to God, because you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Now we can see there's a difference between Hebrew chapter 10, verse 27, and Hebrew 4:6, verse 4. It's impossible for them to sin anymore because they are kept away from sin. For them, unbelief doesn't exist anymore. The chosen one, the elect of God, the bride of Christ, for them unbelief is not there anymore. You think like this is a hard word. No, it's not so. It's just the truth. In the book of Ephesians 1:31, the Bible say, do not make the Holy Spirit to be quenched. So when a person know that the thing is right, the word of God is right, but he reject it, for him there is no other way of repentance, because that is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. For this reason, we have to pay attention, and also other people, they have to take heed. Jesus said the same thing when he was doing the miracle. He's a fortune teller, he's a devil. Jesus turned around and said, I forgive you for that. But when the Holy Ghost comes and does it, to speak a word against it will never be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. Because you have called the Spirit of God that was in him an unclean spirit. We have seen also in time of Brother Branham, the messenger of Laodicean church, people have seen miracles and wonders. They have things, great things. Exactly what happened in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ during 3.5 years. Since that time of Jesus Christ till today, never been such a ministry that's Brother Branham's. Paul has said before the return of the Lord, there's supposed to be a manifestation for the world to see and for the bride to be prepared to meet Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. There been a manifestation, and we cannot say it in another way. Deaf people, they speak. Blind people, they see. Dead people resurrect. Exactly what Jesus Christ has done in his ministry. And we see the manifestation of the Son of Man. And his ministry came back in our time. In the book of John, the Lord has said that you will do greater things, greater works than what I've done. And that's what Brother Branham has done. Naturally, I'm speaking. I'm speaking for other people, because we here, we accept this ministry. We can read in the book of First John. First John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you shall pray for it. Amen. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that the wicked one toucheth him not. Also, we can read in the book of Matthew, chapter 12. From verse 25, so to have the picture. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We do not want to go on to details, but that is addressing also to us. Two people with different ways, they cannot go together. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then the kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebul cast out devil, by whom do your children cast them out? Here Jesus answered them back the way they ask. But if I cast out devil by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. The kingdom of God is come unto you. It cannot be in a different way. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind him, the strong man? For this reason, the gift of to cast away devil is coming from God. A person should get in the soul, then bind the demon or the devil and the authority of the one speaking must be stronger than the devil. If not, the devil is going to resist. For this reason, what is written here is important. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except you first bind the strong man. And today we can see, naturally speaking, among us, when the thieves, they came to steal, either they kill a person for them to do it, or they must be stronger than the owner of the house. It's impossible to say that the devil is casting the devil. God is the one. When he heals, he heals. When he removes, he removes. When he cast out the devil, he cast out the devil. There's no other way. Hallelujah. The devil is the one praying. Verse 29 again. Except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathered not with me scatter abroad. May God grant us grace. May God grant us this grace to see also this in small things in ourselves. When we do our own examination, self-examination, to see if we are with God or against Him. And verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sins and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Today we can say, if you kill someone, you deserve to die. Legally, you deserve to die. But for God, if a man repent, God will forgive him. Because the blood of Jesus Christ will move away the sin. He's going to pay consequence, but God has removed the sin and his soul is free. Have you understood? That is important. In the denomination churches, they have this way of thinking, of acting. You have done this, you have to go away. You cannot be anyway anymore with us. They are kind of legalist. Not verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, he shall be forgiven. But it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall be not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. How we divide or separate the men of the Spirit? We cannot separate them. So the action of the Spirit, Holy Spirit through that man, if you speak about the Son of Man, is going to be forgiven to you. But the action of God, the action of the Holy Spirit through the man, in that case, there is no forgiveness of sin. Then, at paragraph 316, then if we sin willfully, if we sin, disbelieve willfully, not after received the truth, being born again, we have to take heed or pay attention. When you are born again, you can make a mistake, but you cannot sin. I can't do a mistake or I can't do an action that I don't realize. That has nothing to do with sin. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is not condemning me, because that is an unwillfully action. But if myself I'm accusing someone else, that is bad. A Christian cannot commit the unpardonable sin. He can't do that. It is the ungodly that does that. It's the make-believe believer, not the believer. Those Jewish rabbi, oh, they thought they were stars, and they had DD and PhDs. They thought they had it all sewed up in a bag, but they was the worst of sinners. Oh, they might. You couldn't put a hand on them, on their life. They were clear, clean, moral, and just that way, but they were disbelievers. You can see they were clean. Morally, they were clean. But they were unbelievers. We can read in the book of Number 13, verse 29. I believe we read it already. In English is 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekite dwell in the land of the south. The Hittite and the Jebusites, the Amorites, dwell in the mountain. And here, when they went to see the promised land, we have to represent this properly. They seen that it was a good land, a wonderful land, but they could not take it. Because they have seen difficulties. It was hard for them because they seen those people stronger than them. And they were considering themselves weaker or less strong than them. And in verse 30, Moses said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up again, people, for they are stronger than him. We read it already. It's important. Here we can see something is fear. A Christian, he cannot sin because he doesn't have fear. Fear is unbelief. It's necessary that God give us faith to accept everything that God is giving us and to obey to the word of God. Hallelujah. Here we can see our people of Israel. We can read also number 14, verse 20 or verse 19 in English. Moses here intercede for them. But even though he intercede, there was something that God have decided and it could not be no more. God forgive them. It's like someone who commit a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's not going to die at the moment or straight, but it's going to be wandering or going astray. And he's not going to find peace. Here in verse 19, I beseech thee, the iniquity of these people according unto the greatness of mercy. And the Lord said, verse 20, I pardon according to thy word. Verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times, and have no hearken to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I have sworn unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Here is talking about Caleb, verse 27, say, and had followed me, him will I bring into the land where he went. The Lord is wonderful. Now the Amalekite and the Canaanite dwell in the valley. Here God is speaking. Verse 25. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Here they were in front of the country, but God bring them back. And small by small, slowly, slowly, they die all in the wilderness. And in the book of Joshua chapter 5, there we see Joshua entering in the promised land with the young people, those who were born in the wilderness. And then Joshua circumcised them. They were sanctified, and then they enter. Circumcision was like the Holy Spirit. And the promised land that God has given us is this Bible, is the word of truth. Hallelujah. There is no unbelief. There is no way of sin. We surrender ourselves to the end of Christ. And we are fighting against our enemies. And when we enter into the promised land, they continue fighting. The Holy Spirit, through the sign of circumcision, help them, and they continue fighting. You cannot say, I have the Holy Spirit and I'm done. But you must continue till you get into the heavenly or celestial Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Are you there? If there is no Holy Spirit, you can't fight. Just the Holy Spirit is giving us strength to fight our enemies. Faith in Jesus Christ is giving us strength to fight. You should jump in joy, is the truth. The one who get into promises, and God has given us promises for us to fight. We cannot cast out demons without the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. That means the battle is still there. Till the time of that where the millennium will come, we'll fight. And in the millennium, then everything will finish. There we see wolves with lambs together. There won't be conflict. Animals will be in peace. Are you there? There'll be time that everything is going to come at the restoration. This is the right teaching. The one who received the Holy Spirit must continue in his works. He must continue with what God is giving him. The Holy Spirit is a sign. We see that Israel arrived in the wilderness before they arrived to the before the promised land. They eat manna. They ate everything. God has given them everything. Their shoes, they never changed it. Their clothes never changed. They were living through miracles. And they seen all these things. But when they arrived in front of the promised land, and before to get in the other side, they have fear. They were scared. They were unbeliever. They have this unbelief, and they have doubt in what God has told them. And when Moses and Caleb say, "Let's get in," they wanted to stone him. And today is the same thing. Today is the same thing. People who doesn't have the Holy Spirit want to stone those who have the Holy Spirit. Stoning doesn't mean just take stone. But even when you speak against a brother, when you say something against your brother, or you have a thought against your brother, may God help us not to commit this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, this is an exhortation for us. Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Here in verse 13. "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you to be hardened through the deceitfulness of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Here in verse 13, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Christ is the anointment. Hallelujah. Till the end is the principle of our steadfast. It remains that now again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse here is an exhortation that Paul is giving us. We have to be steadfast in faith, and we have to believe everything that God is, what God has done for us is wonderful. For this reason, people are legalists. They are unbelievers. And in their mind, they were right, but they did not have faith. Here the brother is talking about Israel. Now, paragraph 318. There's only two factions. That is a believer or an unbeliever. There's a justified person or sinner. That's all. If you are an unbeliever, you are a sinner. No matter how good you are, how much you go to church, or even if you are a preacher, you are still an unbeliever. Those Pharisees were preachers and they were unbelievers. And in hell today for it, just as religious as they could be and pious, but they did believe him. And they call him a devil and dispute with his word. And some of them said, if thou be now, come down off the cross, perform a miracle. Let us see you do it. And once more him on his head with a stick and said, prophesy and tell us who hit you, you prophet, and we believe you. See, unbelievers, they make believe that they were believers, but they were unbelievers, unregenerated, separated. You can't see the appearance, the God appearance, but denying what is making the power. What is the power? When Jesus said, a virtue came out of me. Who touched him? It was the power of God. The woman, through faith, he touched the Lord. For this reason, that virtue went out. And he granted her grace. But here, Pharisees, they were unbelievers. They have this godly appearance, perfect appearance. As is written in the book of Isaiah, they have rules above rules. But the tables are full of vomit. They saying, Brother Branham say so, Brother Frankham say that. But there's no a personal walk with Christ. There's no sanctification. Yet, that is the same things stand today. Men and women can go to church, have a long face, and pious as they can be, and never lie still, and try to live their religion as they best can. But unless they are believers, they are lost. So there is no scratch of legalist in the Bible. Calvinism is grace. Grace is what God did for you. And works is what you do for God. It's absolutely separated. Here we can read in the book of James. You can see how this word is precise. So James chapter 1 from verse 23. Now, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and defiled before God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You can do a lot of things, help people, but then when small things come, you go astray, you fall. Because you do not put the word of God in practice. We have to put the word of God in practice. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. And faith grows. And then you have to act. And then God will glorify himself in you. Here, paragraph 321. Done everything, heal the sick, and done all these other things, unless you are born of the Spirit of God, elected, you are lost. Not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that sweat mercy. Now read a scripture. The firstborn right is important. If you consider the firstborn right, Jacob was not a Pharisee. He was not a perfect man or a correct man, or even having the appearance of a perfect man. He stole the firstborn right to his brother. God knew everything. God knows the heart. God could see, even though that man was not perfect, was not correct according to the word of God and what he was doing, but God knew in his heart what was there. There was a desire to have the firstborn right, but his brother Esau did not have it. And him, he was a Pharisee, says how. He was good. And it did not interest him, the firstborn right. He was saying, what am I going to do with that? I'm dying of hunger. You can see also today, a lot of things are repeating. We are going far from God, starting with a boil of food. So we must not do the same thing. We must stay who we are, the firstborn, and remain the firstborn. We can read in the book of Romans 9. Romans 9 from verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth or in that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. As we read, in his foreknowledge, God has seen my heart, he has seen your heart. Even before we were born, before that Jacob and Esau were born, he loved Jacob and hate Esau. That it was a foreknowledge of God. For this reason, today we can see a chosen one and a called one. May God help us. It's not about rejecting people or choosing people. God doesn't have favoritism. God has saved the world, giving his only begotten son. And he doesn't want that a sinner to die in sin. It's written in the book of Ezekiel. And today we can see a chosen one and a called one. There are a lot of people being called, but few are the chosen one. For this reason, it's important that our heart is about God that sweat mercy. Deep call deep. In how hard there is that thing that you say, God, I put all my being to do or to take what you have given me and to obey to your word. I put everything, but I cannot do it. And God see in your heart, and God has given us that grace to be called son and daughter of God. And that's what John has said. Election young people, they were over my place. We have a wonderful fellowship. Psalm 33, we were together, anointed under the word of God. Like the anointment that comes down from the beard of Aaron. We must surrender ourselves to God and live the word of God. We have to love God with all our heart. God sees our heart. Notice that we are an open book. I can hide myself to you, but before God, I cannot hide myself. God knows everything, and he's present everywhere. The strength that God has given us is a supernatural thing. Medication, they giving us like physical strength or natural strength, but God is giving us something that is so natural, supernatural. Jacob, before to meet his brother, was scared. But then when he met God, he fought against God, against the angel of the Lord, and he won. Why did he win? Because he persevered. He wanted to win. He has this desire. And there you can see the elect, the chosen one. And God has given this possibility to me and you to enter in. Now, paragraph 322. Esau tried his best to become a Christian, and he could not do it. The Bible said he wept bitterly, seeking a place to repent, and could not find it. Before he was even born, God condemned him, because he knew it was a rotten schister in his heart. God, by foreknowledge, knew it. Here people can say God condemned him, or God has forsake him. But God forsake him because he forsake the firstborn right. And God said, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. Esau looked like a gentleman. He stayed home taking care of his blind daddy, fed the cattle and everything. He was a good boy. And Jacob was mama's boy. Little old sissy feet. Tori Stella. That's what he was. You have to admit it. The Bible admits, brings it, run around doing everything, and mama hanging around with mama, but yet Jacob, with all his up and down and his sissy feet ways, he still had respect to that birthright. That was keynote. Esau was twice the gentleman of Jacob. If we have to judge him today to be a member of our church, we take Esau. 1,000 to 1 if you didn't know him, but God took Jacob. What you do with St. Paul if he wanted to be a minister? A little odd hook-nosed Jew, and his mouth setting sideways, going along just fussing, and how he's going to tear out the church. He's going to do everything. You thought he committed the unpardonable sin, but God said, he's my servant. You can read in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 5. God takes man and make them different. Not man taking God and becoming different. God takes man, makes him different. It's not what you do, what you will, what you think. It's what God does. There you are. And that's the story. You can see Moses, Jacob, Samson, God has made them different. God takes men and make them different. It's not a man taking God and becoming different. It's God doing the job. It's God doing that. It's not a man. It's not what you do. It depends on God and what He's doing. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. No. 2 Corinthians. sorry, 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 5:15. Those are precise passages of the scripture. They're important. And that, and here we understand that our lives doesn't belong to us anymore, but it belongs to God. And we have to understand that this is an important thing. We do not belong anymore to us, but belong to Christ. Second Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Are you taking this word? Are we taking this word? Are we taking it seriously, or are we just taking it like this? Brother is reading again, verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him die for them and rose again. Wherefore, verse 16, henceforth known we no man after flesh. We can also say that we knew Christ after the flesh. Because the ministry of the Son of Man that Jesus says 2,000 years ago on earth, in our generation we have seen the same ministry, and we have to make sure that Brother Branham, and it's true, he cannot be Christ, but the action that was in Christ happen also in Brother Branham's ministry. We have seen miracles, we have seen wonders, and we have also seen the character, the divine manifestation, divine ways. And through this man, God has done what he has to do. We do not know anymore after the flesh, but we know after the spirit. Now verse 17, therefore, if any man being Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. I do not understand how you understand this word. And tonight we can take this word, opening our heart and saying, saying to God that we have become new creature. All things are passed away. The old man is not there anymore. We've been regenerated. As going forward, the Lord is removed all things. And here we see the restoration of the bride of Christ. You can read in the book of Joel chapter 2. All things become new. And also when you see the word of God, it become new. You see Jesus Christ in your life, and everything in your life become different. how Lord is wonderful. In book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, then we stop there. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Is a well-known passage. And this thing must take place in our life. It must come to pass in a Christian life, in a believer life, as we read before in 2 Corinthians 5. Galatians starting from 18. For if I build again the things which I have destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Living by faith, you see? I'm giving myself totally. That doesn't mean that you have not to work. But your soul has changed. Your spirit is different. And everything in your life has changed. All things, they passed away. And it's a glorious thing. And that is going to be a daily experience with God. A continuously experience. Or a continuous experience. And it's something like when you are suffering, the Lord is there comforting you and he's strengthening you again. Then you start walking again in his way. And you declare to the Lord, I'm living for you. And he's the one taking care of you in our daily work. May the Lord help us and put in our heart this, strengthen our faith. Now, paragraph 327. Yeah. And it is yet more evident that for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arise another priest. Now, paragraph 328, Melchizedek was a priest, was he? Here he was what he was. We find out that God in the beginning was a great founder of spirit. Is that right? Congregation say yes. Amen. He had no birthplace, he had no dying place, he had no beginning of days, he had no ending of years. He was just as eternal as eternity is eternal. We are going to stop here. God has changed Moses. He has changed Jacob. Has changed Samson, David. Moses was an important man. But he has to wait 40 years for the whole things to pass away. And God is a God of transformation. He changed his heart. And I believe it. Yeah, the brother is talking about Paul. Said that Paul was ignorant when also he participated to the death of Stephen. He was just ignorant, but he did not sin against the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless us. We stand up and we pray. May the Lord grant us grace. And surely He's going to do it. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. You are in our midst. And you are in our heart. You are the one who's speaking, and you are the one edifying. You have blessed us today. Your word is wonderful, and we cannot stay without you, and we cannot stay without your exhortation. We can't stay without your spirit. We want to walk with you, O Lord. May this blessing come upon us once again, that everyone who's listening receive the same grace. You know the needs. Glorify thy name. As we are getting to the end, and everything is being placed in this place, may our faith be regenerated. Strengthen us, and may our faith stay in the foundation and based on the foundation of the apostle and prophet. And may the Holy Spirit comes and put in action, in practice, what you are giving us. Strengthen our faith and manifest yourself in the midst of this small church. Here is a small church, is a small flock. But, oh Lord, bless this small flock, small church. The name of Jesus Christ. We want this life more and more. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Time has passed fast, but you are with us. Stay, remain with us, and with also with the word we have listened. Thank you. Thank you for everyone who believes to your word. And once again, strengthen our faith in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. We're thanking you for this word. It's not a man changing for you, but you changing the man through your Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, you take a man and you're bringing a new, you're changing him. You're removing the heart of stone and you're giving him an heart of flesh. We're thanking you. For all, We have changed our expression. We have changed our ways. And you are leading us. It's true, Father, that we have to work. We have to take care about the house. We have to take care about family. But in all, overall, may your spirit, may your spirit lead and guide our heart, and for us to recognize that you are doing in our life. We're thanking you, Lord, for your faithfulness. You are the helper who is always there in time of trouble, and you are the faithful one. If you were not there, where we would be? In darkness, but you have granted us grace and you have received us. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for all the brethren, those who are missing tonight. May you bless them, strengthen them, help them in their walk with you. Help us not to be hypocrite and to check ourselves in the mirror of your word, to be honest with ourselves and also with you. Heavenly Father, we want to be like Jacob. He knew in his heart he wanted to be the firstborn. And help us, Lord, to be like him. Help us to catch this Help us, O Lord. Grant us grace. And we're asking that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.